take my fear, all I have. I'm leaving here, be all my hopes, be all my dreams, be all my delights, be my everything. And I will worship
you, God. We worship you, Jesus. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We exalt you today. God, again, we thank you. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us, that bought salvation, healing, deliverance, eternal life. Lord, God, you made the way for us to be reconciled. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your power that you have not changed. And Lord, we worship you today, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator, the Almighty God, the one true God. We exalt you, we worship you, we love you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. Those watching and listening, what's today? The 2nd? Oh, so August 3rd, that's the deadline on the Fire and Grace School of Ministry applications. Man, this year is looking interesting. We have students from, I guess it's Gabon, Africa, South Africa, Australia, the Netherlands, all over the U.S. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, if you're wanting to get that application in, you better get it in quick. Classes start on the 17th, so starting early this year. All right, guys, we're going to get into it this morning. I hope you have your Bibles because we're going to start out in the Word. But we can go ahead and put up the PowerPoint this morning. I've entitled this today, The Good Samaritan in COVID-19. Now you'll understand that in just a second as we get into this, but you can go ahead and turn your Bibles if you have them, and we're going to look at the parable or the story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. How many of you know that the Bible says, and Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man is willing to lay down his life for his friend, right? There's not much of that kind of love going on in the world today, is it? But thank God Jesus did it for us, amen? Or we'd be in a heap of trouble. But let's read this. This is Luke chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 25. The parable of the Good Samaritan here. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now the reason I've entitled this today, The Good Samaritan and COVID-19, is because there is really a tragedy going on in America right now, because so many people have Trump derangement syndrome, right? There's such a hatred on a certain part of our population for President Trump that because he mentioned a treatment that works for COVID-19, it has become a political issue. Now, what's sad about that is if this was just, you know, something that wasn't a deadly virus, and I'm just not going to argue with these people out here about whether it's a virus or it's not a virus. It's something real that's getting in people and killing them. So let's just go with that. All right. We know it's man-made. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We know it's a biological weapon. But it's gotten to be ridiculous because people are being sent home from the hospital to die when there is a treatment that works. And it's been proven to work over and over and over again. And I've talked about it since March. One of the top doctors in the world in France has talked about it since February. And as I've pointed out numerous times, Dr. Anthony Fauci knew about it in 2005, but acts like he doesn't know what it is now. But look at this. This is a comment on my Facebook page when I wrote, doctors are just sending people home to die. Now, how do I know this? Because this happened this week. All right? To somebody I know. Or really, they were, in this particular situation, they were just going to let him die in the hospital, I guess. They were just going to wait till he got worse to put him on a ventilator. But this person just commented on that and says, yes, I have a friend who's 65 years old, who's a 65-year-old mother, rather, just passed and said the doctor refused to give her hydroxychloroquine. Now, let me ask you something. Somebody's about to die from COVID-19, from basically your lungs, the virus replicating in your lungs and filling your lungs up. And you're dying a painful, miserable death. And there's something they could give you that would help it immediately. That's been, again, there are studies that proved it's safe and effective. Doctors are coming out saying it's safe and effective. But we got politics involved. I mean, this is a medicine that in Africa you can buy at any store on the street. And yet doctors are being told here, don't give it to people who are dying. And not just dying, but basically suffocating, drowning. This is an absolute travesty that's going on. This is basically, folks, a genocide of primarily our older people. It is no compassion, no mercy whatsoever. You've noticed this. Here's the Guardian, UK Guardian here. Texas hospital forced to set up death panel as COVID-19 cases surge. Meaning, basically, they sit there and set up a panel. We're going to decide who we think we might can treat and help with all their stupid treatments that really don't help. And who we'll send home to die and just hope for the best. Good luck. When these doctors know there's a treatment that works, even on 80-year-olds. It's unbelievable that this is going on. Teen Challenge. Here's CBN News reported this. I watched the video. Teen Challenge co-founder given hydroxychloroquine recovers from COVID-19 at 80 years old. This is David Wilkerson's brother here. Now listen to what he says. I notice it says down here, President Trump and others continue to promote the anti-malaria medication hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for COVID-19. Scientists warn it needs more testing. No, it doesn't. No, these are scientists that are looking to get paid from a vaccine. You know how much one vaccine will profit a pharmaceutical company if they get it? Just one. It's worth $1 billion to them. And that's just if part of the population gets it. Can you imagine a vaccine that they're going to pump to the whole world? How much money they would get? Don't tell me it's not about money. It's about money. It's always about money and power and the agenda, Satan's agenda, the New World Order agenda. It's always about that. Money and the agenda. It goes on to say that we've had some unbelievable results that gives people hope. President Trump said this on March 19th. See, this is where it should have all just stopped. Countries that actually use this, Cameroon, almost no death. I mean, I could go down the list. But look here. So, says Trump met at the White House this week with people who have recovered from COVID-19, including Michigan Democrat State Representative Karen Whitsett, who thanked the president for clearing the way for doctors to prescribe hydroxychloroquine, a treatment that she said led to her recovery. Quote, she said, "It actually saved my life within a couple of hours, made all the difference in the world." Now, I've shared this before, but here we go. Listen to what Pastor Don Wilkinson, the co-founder of Teen Challenge and the brother of the late David Wilkerson from the Cross and the Switchblade fame, started feeling sick after a trip to his organization's Brooklyn chapter in early March. "I got pneumonia. I could hardly walk or talk. She couldn't understand me," talking about his wife. "She couldn't understand me very well." He goes on to say, Wilkerson says that he was rushed to the hospital, tested for the virus. Doctors then just gave him Tylenol for his fever and sent him home to wait for the results. Now, wait a minute. I thought this was a highly infectious disease, right? We putting people on house arrest in Kentucky, and they let him just walk out of the hospital. Wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to quarantine. It's insane. What they do is makes no sense. But he goes on to say, by the time he learned of his positive test, about a week later, with pneumonia, he tests positive. It comes back, he's positive for COVID-19. He was critically ill at this point. He's again rushed to the hospital. This time, a doctor prescribed hydroxychloroquine. The nurse came in at one point. She said, "The doctor wants to give you this experimental drug." And I said, yes, I okayed it and took it, he remembers. While the rest of the day was a blur, Wilkerson says he remembers waking up the next morning significantly better. He says what stood out the most was that his sense of taste had returned. Listen to what he said here. Now, here's an 80-year-old man. I started to cry. He knew he was about to die unless something happened. So they give him this cheap, safe hydroxychloroquine that Trump suggested in March. They give it to him, and boom, he recovers, and he goes home. He said he knew that the medicine had worked on the virus. He returned home a few days later. He's doing great. Now, why would anybody say no? There's pharmacy boards saying, even if a doctor prescribes it, we're not going to give it to them. I kid you not. This is going on. Now, I just got through writing about a 9,000 word article here with over 30 references, and these are references I cite, over 30 references for a new website I'm working on. But this is a testimony of a traveling minister from Georgia. Now, I think he's from Georgia or Indiana, somewhere like that, but he also lives in Israel. But he said this. This is a statement from Roy Kendall on his severe experience with COVID-19. He said, "Dear family and friends, 2 weeks ago I checked into a hotel in North Carolina feeling a bit tired, but that's normal after many weeks of traveling the country and doing meetings. Social distancing, mask, etc. My temp was a little higher than normal, but not enough to be called fever. I spoke at a church the next day, but took precautions than ever, or I guess he meant to say more than ever. As I walked in without touching anyone, spoke and sang without, walked out without greeting people, went straight back to my hotel. The pastor was in agreement with my decision. I drove to a cheaper hotel, canceled all my meetings, and decided to quarantine myself. By Friday, it became very difficult to breathe without coughing, but I heard about a special treatment from some doctors in Texas who offer telemedicine online, but they were closed for the weekend. He said, meanwhile, I found a place to be tested, but would have to wait 7 days for the results. I strongly resisted the thought of going into the hospital because of so many horror stories, and the FDA will not allow them to prescribe what has helped so many people. By Monday, I couldn't sleep. My every breath was measured. Fever was high. My cough was severe. I got my telemedicine call, only to be told they can't prescribe anything out of Texas. For the first time in my life, the bottom fell out of my hope. I was told by several doctors the hospital will put me on a ventilator and it's wait to see if I live or die." Boy, that's great news, isn't it? Aren't they wonderful helpers? But then, isn't it good when you have a but then? But then a friend of mine called and said that he heard from a pastor in this town that there's a doctor in his congregation I could call. It's late Monday afternoon. I called. The office said no new patients till next week. I said, please tell the doctor his pastor recommended him to me. He got on the phone. He said he was amazed I was not already on a ventilator. But he took my case because he said that I will not get this treatment in the hospital. He got me a nebulizer, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and the azithromycin, along with numerous other vitamins. In 2 days, I was 50% better. Today is day 4, and I'm at 75%. By Sunday, I will walk out of this hotel room 100% well and drive back to Atlanta. By the way, I got my test results back yesterday, positive. I'm sorry this post is so long, but I wanted to get the full story. This treatment I got is the most successful when it's done early. Mine was possibly at the point of death. This man would have died had a doctor not helped him out. Now, let me just explain to you something. In a war, in any war that you're in, there is a propaganda war. There is an information war. There's a communication war. We're in it right now. And it's not just about COVID-19 and the cure for it. It's on many, many levels right now. We're being told, you know what? We can't treat you. Listen to this contradiction. We can't treat you with a drug that's been safely used for 60 years. But we're going to rush a vaccine, an mRNA vaccine. We're going to rush it through without animal tests. We're going to rush it through, and you just need to trust us and take it. Now, does that make sense? But yet, there are people out here going to line up. They're going to line up to take it, including the trio of ignorance, or the trinity of ignorance, I should say, in our state. And the ones I mean by that's the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the state health director. Trinity of ignorance. Now, these doctors came out. This has been the big news, right, this week, the frontline doctors. Right, and we're talking about doctors from Texas Tech, University of Texas, UCLA. We're not talking about doctors that went down to the Bahamas to get a diploma. Right? But all of a sudden, they come out and say, we've been treating hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of patients with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, zinc. And the one doctor, Stella Israel there, she was trained in Nigeria, fireball for Jesus. She says flat out, she's treated over 300 patients. She hadn't lost one. She says she has her entire staff taking hydroxychloroquine as a preventative measure. Which, think about it. I was told when I was prescribed hydroxychloroquine before I went to Nigeria in 2002 that I had to take it for several weeks before I left and then take it while I was there and then take it when I got back home as what? A preventative measure. Isn't that interesting? From malaria. These doctors here get up there and share their testimonies, share the studies that have come out. And yes, there's been several. Actually, there's over 60 studies now that prove it's safe and effective. But because CNN keeps saying it's not, because Dr. Deep State Illuminati Fauci keeps saying, it's not safe, we don't know. It's controversial all of a sudden. But Fauci, get ready for the vaccine. Get ready for your DNA to be changed. I'm sorry, it's not happening. But these doctors, I watched it when it first came out, and I knew. Before I could get back to my office to pull my computer up to record it, it was gone. It was pulled down. Google pulled down some of their website. YouTube pulled it down. Facebook pulled it down. Some of these doctors, Dr. Todoro, is a Columbia-trained physician. His whole website, when he just spoke about the studies on March 13th, his website was taken down. You don't think we're in an information war? But see, this is about people's lives. This is not some political disagreement. People are either living or dying based on this. It's all about them pushing the vaccine. Look here, this came out in just the last week. This is Newsweek magazine. I mentioned it last Sunday. Harvey A. Reich, professor of epidemiology, where? Podunk University? Yale School of Public Health. You know what he says? The key to defeating COVID-19 already exists. We need to start using it. This is a Yale doctor who teamed up with a Harvard doctor and the doctor out of New York, Dr. Zelenko, who's treated right now probably over 1,000 patients and seen 98% success rate with this. And here's a Yale doctor. And let's read what he says here. He says, as professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health, I have authored over 300 peer-reviewed publications. So is this guy a quack? Is this quack? Because Yahoo News came out and said that the frontline doctors are quacks. But here's a Yale doctor and professor who's authored over 300 peer-reviewed publications, currently holds senior positions on the editorial boards of several leading journals. He said, I am usually accustomed to advocating for positions within the mainstream of medicine, so I've been flummoxed to find that in the midst of a crisis, I am fighting for a treatment that the data fully supports, but which, for reasons having nothing to do with the correct understanding of the science, has been pushed to the sidelines. Here's what the Yale doctor says. As a result, tens of thousands of patients with COVID-19 are dying unnecessarily. This is not Pastor Dean saying this. This is not some quack who got his degree from from a mill down in the Virgin Islands, down there at Epstein Island, where certain people pushing a vaccine used to hang out. No. And he goes on to tell you, I'm referring, of course, to the medication hydroxychloroquine. When this inexpensive oral medication is given very early in the course of illness, before the virus had time to multiply beyond control, it has shown to be highly effective, especially when given in combination with the antibiotics azithromycin or doxycycline and the nutritional supplement zinc. On May 27th, I published an article in the American Journal of Epidemiology entitled Early Outpatient Treatments Symptomatic High-Risk COVID-19 Patients That Should Be Ramped Up Immediately as a Key to the Pandemic Crisis. That article, published in the world's leading epidemiology journal, analyzed five studies demonstrating clear-cut and significant benefits to treated patients, plus other very large studies that showed medication safety. Now, I have a friend. I won't name his name, but I have a friend who's the top, as far as I know, the top heart surgeon in the world. Guess where he trained? Yale. Guess where he taught? Yale. He now has his own practice. Pretty serious place, don't you think? Would anybody say that Yale doctors are quacks? No. But CNN might. I got to tell you all this story. I saw it last night. I recorded it because I couldn't believe I saw it on CNN. But CNN had a guy go do focus groups in the 17 swing states. You know, all the polls saying Trump's losing, right? Except this guy CNN sent out went to all the swing states to do focus groups. Guess what? All the focus groups, 16 out of the 17 states, all the focus groups, two-thirds were voting for Trump. When he came back and shared this information, he goes, well, what happened in the 17th? Well, he said that was taken in June when everybody was still upset over in the protests and didn't realize yet that when, the violence and finding out that they were communists and all this stuff. He said now it's 17 out of 17. And so the CNN host, wait a minute now, the polls say Trump's behind, but all these focus groups say he's winning by 66 or 67%. He goes, the CNN host said, could both be true? Isn't it amazing? Could both be true? Could hydroxychloroquine be healing people, saving their lives, and killing them at the same time? That's CNN for you, right? Let me show you this. Why you say, Pastor Dean, why do you make this an issue? I got accused of, let me tell you, some of the meanest people out there is Christians, especially the so-called truther Christians. I'm about done with them because they have no discernment whatsoever. I know there's real conspiracies out there, but everything's not a conspiracy, all right? Now hydroxychloroquine's a conspiracy. Oh, even one, Johnny Bargo. If y'all are on the Johnny Bargo train, you need to get off. Mr. Bargo said Here's a neat little fact. He said, chloro means green and quine means horse. So it's the green horse of Revelation, hydroxychloroquine. Well, I could do the same thing with his name, Bargo. I guess that means that he's a Christian that goes to bars. Right? But let me just inform him about something. Chloros does mean green. It does. But equine means horse, not quine. Right? That's like saying, rake, or I ate, the word A-T-E, I ate something. Well, let me slap another letter on it, like C, and that's the same thing. No, cake and ate's not the same thing. And quine and equine are not the same words. Quine does not mean horse. But boy, he thought he came up with something, didn't he? Let me tell you, if y'all on the Bargo train, get off of it quick. He's been missing it quite a bit. But let me tell you something. Here's the deal. Let's read this. Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. If thou forbear, meaning if you hold back, if you refrain, to deliver them that are drawn toward death and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And he shall not render to every man according to his works. If you hold back, what he's saying is, if you hold back to help someone that's being drawn toward death, you see somebody ready to die and you do nothing, you're going to be judged by God according to your works. See, the Good Samaritan, I've had some crazy Christians go, well, we shouldn't trust any drugs or medicine or anything like that. Look, I'm going to tell you right now. Y'all know from what I preach and teach, I believe in healing. I believe Jesus still heals. I've seen Jesus heal every kind of sickness and disease. I've seen all kind of miracles. But I have also seen God use doctors and medicine. Not all of it's evil. Not all of it's bad. You hear me? There's people all the time. I mean, it's just insane what people do. There are good doctors out there. Listen, some people say, well, there's some ingredients in hydroxychloroquine that's not good for you. Well, let me see. A few ingredients in there that might not be good for me or death. You know, I've been healed myself many times, but you know what? When I tore my Achilles tendon from my heel in 2010, I went to a surgeon, and guess what? He gave me antibiotics. He gave me pain meds because I was in a heap of pain, and he cut me about this long to reach up into my calf and get my Achilles, the tendon, and pull it back down and sew it back on so I could walk again. I'm thankful. Doc Winlile, he was a kicker for Auburn University. I thank God for that. And I thank God for the anesthesia, that I didn't have to be awake while he cut me that far on my leg and reached up in there and pulled my tendon down. I am thankful. I'm thankful for Laura Tabs that got me through. I'm thankful that I didn't get an infection. So, you know what? Let's stop being stupid. Right? Listen, look, in this world, everything has risk. You walk out that door right now, some nut could drive right off the road right here because we're right on the road and run you over. So you're taking a risk walking out of the door. You take a risk every time you get in your automobile. You take a greater risk if you get on a motorcycle. The many times I've been on motorcycles and in the air, I shouldn't be here today, right? But we all live with calculated risk. And what we have to do when it comes to medicine or surgeries or vaccines or any of this stuff, we have to do our own research, our own study, and see if that's a risk that we're willing to take. whether to take the medicine or not take it, or to have the surgery or not have the surgery. But whose decision should that be? Ours, right? But folks, let me tell you, the reason I'm on this is because people are dying. And the reason I've repeated it over and over. Now, let me just tell you something. There are some people right now, what do they say? There's doctors out there saying, I won't prescribe this because the CDC doesn't recommend it. You want me to tell you one of the most corrupt institutions in America? The CDC. And they've been corrupt since the beginning. Let's watch this. Y'all ready? This is troubling. But this happened in Alabama. Tuskegee, Alabama. Now, the poor British guy who's narrating this, Dr. Wakefield, he does not say Tuskegee correctly, so forgive him. All right? But you need to watch this, and you need to understand that we cannot trust these government institutions. They've been infiltrated by people that are Satanist. They've been infiltrated by people who are after money. And they hide the truth many times. And they've been busted many times. But this is probably the worst.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did. It's all there.
This is a real story of a real fraud.
What's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper?
Deliberate, high-level deception of the American people with disastrous consequences for its children's health. In order to give context to the extraordinary story that you're about to hear, a little historical perspective is important. Many of you will have heard of Tuskegee. Dirt-poor sharecroppers in Macon County, Alabama. Black men with syphilis. From 1932, 339 men were told by the Public Health Service, the forerunner of today's CDC, that they had bad blood. The motive of public health doctors was to study the natural history of syphilis in the black man. Natural history in this case means deliberately untreated. These men were deliberately left untreated, even when something as effective as penicillin came along. Worse still, those infected were actively prevented by public health doctors from getting this life-saving drug. Men suffered and died. Women continued being infected, and babies continued to be born with congenital syphilis. A shiny new CDC took over in the late 1960s, refused to stop the experiment. Not until every last man had been opened up on their autopsy table. The experiment was stopped, not because the CDC realized the barbaric nature of their enterprise, but because a whistleblower by the name of Peter Buxton leaked the story to a journalist at the Washington Star. The story was published on July 25th, 1972, hit the front page of the New York Times, and the experiment was stopped shortly thereafter. Congressional hearings followed. So unethical, so inhumane was this public health experiment that it led to a change in the CDC's code of medical ethics. Except it didn't. 30 years later, the CDC was to do something arguably far worse. Over a decade ago, Dr. Scott Montgomery and I put forward a hypothesis for MMR vaccine and autism. The age that you receive the vaccine influences the risk. This makes sense. For some infections like measles, the age of infection changes the outcome. We shared this hypothesis with vaccine officials, members of the Centers for Disease Control at meetings in Washington, D.C., and Cold Spring Harbor. A group of senior vaccine safety people at the CDC studied it. It panned out. We were right. At least partly. By November the 9th, 2001, nearly 13 years ago, senior CDC scientists knew that younger age of exposure to MMR was associated with an increased risk of autism. In 2004, they published, but they hid the results.
It's the lowest point in my career that I went along with that paper. And I went along with this. We didn't report significant findings.
MMR was declared safe.
The IOM has evaluated this issue back in 2004 and again most recently in 2011. And, you know, their conclusion, again, was not just looking at the work that was done at CDC, but with a total body of evidence, was suggesting that vaccines and their components did not increase the risk for autism.
What Dr. Colleen Boyle, a co-author of that blighted paper, did not tell Congress is that she and her colleagues had deliberately concealed the autism vaccine link from the Institute of Medicine and the public. Ironically, they even received an award from the Secretary of Health and Human Services for this work. So troubling was the fraud that one of the CDC researchers broke ranks. Eventually, he made contact with Dr. Brian Hooker, father of a vaccine-injured child with autism and a vaccine safety researcher.
I received a phone call out of the blue. It had a 404 area code, so I knew it was from the CDC. Lo and behold, it was Bill Thompson. He had much to confess.
I'm completely ashamed of what I did. I have great shame now. I was complicit, and I went along with this.
Dr. Thompson had appointed me his priest, and when he appointed me his priest, then he started confessing, and we have had many, many phone exchanges. We've exchanged dozens of emails, and he has released quite compelling information regarding fraud and malfeasance in the CDC.
We didn't report significant findings.
Thompson sent Hooker information that was never intended for public scrutiny. From their own data sheets dated 2001, Dr. Hooker analyzed the CDC's results, and he found the same risk for autism that the CDC scientists had themselves identified.
It's all there. It's all there.
He confronted Thompson.
He has expressed significant remorse for lying, for burying data.
I have great shame now when I meet families with kids with autism because I have been part of the problem.
This week, August the 10th, 2014, Dr. Hooker published the real findings. A 340% increased risk of autism in boys receiving the MMR on time compared with those receiving it later. 13 years and tens of thousands of children later. But as I've said, Dr. Montgomery and I were only partly right. The risk of autism from early MMR vaccination was seen in black children. Black boys. Those boys, for some reason, are at very high risk. Consistent with the CDC's own findings, the rate of autistic regression in black children is reported to be twice that in white children.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did.
Tuskegee Revisited. Scientist Dr. David Lewis, an international expert in whistleblowing and the detection of scientific fraud, reviewed the original CDC documents and the paper they published in 2004.
Probably this is the clearest case and the easiest case in which to answer, is it fraud or is it an accident? Is it just an artifact of the study that we're dealing with here? Clearly it's fraud.
He knows that he's culpable for damage. He knows.
I want to just say that's kind of, I mean, I could let it play on out, but I wanted you to see that because I wanted you to see the level of fraud. I mean, think about it. 2001, this is almost 20 years ago, they knew that the MMR vaccine was causing autism. They knew it and hid it. It was reported to Congress, and the congressman shared this on the congressional floor. I need to play this clip right here because you just need to see this. This is not me making this stuff up.
CDC whistleblower Dr. William Thompson has now issued a public statement affirming the massive fraud at the CDC. quote, "I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in our 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics."
Thompson has claimed that he's handed over documents about this case to Congressman Bill Posey's office. Congressman Posey brought this information to the floor of Congress, and what he read there was nothing short of stunning, that authors of the study not only hid the actual findings, but attempted to destroy evidence. Quoting from Dr. Thompson, "The authors of the study decided not to disclose to the public that African-American boys under 36 months were more susceptible to developing autism or autism-like symptoms from the MMR vaccine.
We would conclude that vaccinating children early with MMR vaccine could lead to autism-like characteristics or features." The author scheduled a meeting to destroy documents related to the study. The remaining four co-authors all met and brought a big garbage can into the meeting room and reviewed and went through all the hard copy documents that we had thought we should discard and put them in a huge garbage can.
We want Bill Thompson subpoenaed before Congress because Congress won't subpoena him. Why? Because the number one lobbying donor to Congress today is the pharmaceutical industry. And they have our congressmen on puppet strings.
There you go.
I won't even get into this one.
This guy just irritates me so bad. If I were to become governor, he's the first one I'd fire right there. As our state health director, he'd be gone. I mean, the moment after I was sworn in, I would fire him. Okay. But think about this. And this is not the only case that I could put up. These are not the only cases I could put up about the CDC's corruption, this government institution that's supposed to be about, look underneath it, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, saving lives and protecting people. They have that trademarked. Do you see that? Saving lives and protecting people, trademarked. They don't care about saving your life. They care about profits from vaccines and drugs that are expensive. They do not care about people. That's just the bottom line. And our congressmen and senators and so on and so forth are getting paid by these companies. And we need to understand, are you going to trust these people to inject anything into your body? People wonder why we have a problem with vaccines. I mean, come on now. Bill Gates is on the record multiple times saying he wants to lower the population of the world through vaccines. Do you hear me? Lower the population of the world through vaccines, and then he wants to give a vaccine to everybody on the face of the earth. Have we gone mad? Can no one see? They say what they're doing right out in the open, and everybody goes, "Oh, he's a philanthropist. Look at Bill Gates trying to help us. He's trying to help you die." As the CDC's been doing. But what does the CDC say over here about hydroxychloroquine? "There are no drugs or other therapeutics, presently approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to prevent or treat COVID-19. You see that? Let's look at this. You want to talk about the information war? Look at the battle that's going on here. Fauci, just a few days ago, HuffPost, liberal rag. "Hydroxychloroquine is not effective in treating COVID-19. How much more blunt can you get? Not effective, right? Trump, wrong. Fauci, Trump slams Fauci over testimony on COVID-19. There's a little war going on here. But here we go, Daily Mail. Going back weeks ago, can hydroxychloroquine work after all? Coronavirus patients treated early with the drug touted by Trump were 50% less likely to die. Study finds." And Fauci says, weeks after this, "No treatment. It's not effective." We're dealing with deep state individuals. You know, you need to understand that. We're dealing with people with an agenda. Trump defends pro-hydroxychloroquine doctor. This was just the other day. Trump knows. Let me tell you something. You can like him, you can not like him. But one thing about it is, he's risked his political life as president of the United States to tell the truth about something the elite didn't want to get out. The elite, the satanic people, the deep state people, the Illuminati people, the satanic agenda people want a vaccine that's going to change your DNA. Gates admit this. I put a video up the other day of Bill Gates himself saying it's going to change your DNA. All right? So people are saying, Trump's in on it. If Trump's in on it, why would he have put out, let the cat out of the bag, there's a cure, there's a treatment? No, he let us know and took the heat. Look at that look right there. If looks could kill, Fauci would be dead. Dr. Fauci contradicts Trump once again on hydroxychloroquine. Do you see the battle going on? Yet real doctors who care about their patients and saving their lives, guess what they're doing? They're using it. As the Stella Emanuel, Dr. Emanuel says, and we're trying to contact her to get her to come to Skyfall. But as she says, Fauci hadn't treated a patient in 40 years. She said, in fact, she challenged him. She said, I want you to take a pee test. Let's see if you're taking hydroxychloroquine to keep you safe from the virus. Uh-huh. You didn't hear any answer to that one, did you? Little Nazi. Now, let me ask you something. Here's Newsweek magazine. I bet most of you hadn't heard this. You know, this article came out in April. It's funny, though, that I just found it. Now, I'd heard rumors, but I just found the article. Let's do a little reading in Newsweek magazine, okay? Dr. Fauci backed controversial Wuhan lab with U.S. dollars for risky coronavirus research. What? Oh, yeah. Fauci's group, the NIH, gave over $7 million for them to research and develop helping the coronavirus be able to cross from animals to humans. And the research ended in 2019 and then coronavirus pandemic in 2020. Let's read a little bit of it. Last year, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, the organization led by Dr. Fauci, funded scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and other institutions for work on gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses. In 2019, with the backing of the National Institutes of Health, committed $3.7 million over 6 years for research. And actually, they got that wrong. From 2014 forward, included research that included some gain-of-function work. The program followed another $3.7 million, five-year project for collecting and studying bat coronaviruses, which ended in 2019, bringing the total to $7.4 million. Many scientists have criticized gain-of-function research, which involves manipulating viruses in the lab to explore their potential for infecting humans. Why would you explore this? Now, let me tell you, this is a fact. I saw this from another doctor. This is a designer virus. They're using HIV, aspects of HIV, coronavirus, and the H1, the SARS virus. It's a cocktail. And it goes on to say here, it says, many scientists criticize this gain-of-function research, which involves manipulating viruses in the lab to explore their potential for infecting humans because it creates a risk of starting a pandemic. So many scientists are saying, you don't need to be doing this kind of research. It could start a pandemic. But Fauci was funding it. And this is the guy that said, oh, hydroxychloroquine doesn't work. Why would you say that? Let's keep going. SARS-CoV-2, the virus now causing a global pandemic, is believed to have originated in bats. However, U.S. intelligence, after originally asserting that the coronavirus had occurred naturally, conceded last month that the pandemic may have originated in a leak from the Wuhan lab. Uh-oh. A lab funded by Fauci. I love this. Fauci did not respond to Newsweek's request for comment. I imagine not. The NIH responded with a statement that said, in part, most emerging human viruses come from wildlife, and these represent a significant threat to public health and biosecurity in the U.S. and globally, as demonstrated by the SARS epidemic in 2002 and 2003. And the current COVID-19 pandemic, scientific research indicates that there's no evidence that suggests that the virus was created in a laboratory. Yet, U.S. intelligence says, no, we think it is. We think it was. The NIH research consisted of two parts. First part began in 2014. Who was president then? Yeah, Deep State Obama himself. Says here that the program was started in 2014, involved surveillance of bat coronaviruses, had a budget of $3.7 million. The program funded by Shaixing Li, a virologist at the Wuhan lab, and other researchers to investigate and catalog bat viruses in the wild. This part of the project was completed in 2019. A second phase of the project beginning that year included additional surveillance work, but also gain-of-function research for the purpose of understanding how bat coronaviruses could mutate to attack humans. The project was run by EcoHealth Alliance, a nonprofit research group under the direction of President Peter Daszak, an expert in disease ecology. Blah, blah, blah. Let me jump down a little bit here. Yeah, I'm going to go down to, says here, they were worried again, from doing this stuff, that it would be a potential spillover. In layman terms, spillover potential refers to the ability of a virus to jump from animals to humans, which requires that the virus be able to attach to receptors in the cells of humans. SARS-CoV-2, for instance, is adept at binding to the ACE2 receptor in human lungs and other organs. According to Richard Ebright, an infectious disease expert at Rutgers University, the project description refers to experiments that would enhance the ability of bat coronavirus to infect human cells and laboratory animals using techniques of genetic engineering in the wake of the pandemic. That is a noteworthy detail. Oh, yeah. So a Rutgers University expert says that the project was basically to enhance the ability of a bat virus to be able to infect humans. They created this thing, you guys. And the funding for it came from Anthony Fauci. And this is the guy you want to trust? You know, this fool is mocking us. Because, you know, it went from don't wear a mask to wear a mask. Now you need to wear goggles. He said this the other day. You need to wear goggles. Well, why don't y'all just provide us spacesuits? Because that's, guess what, we need, right? How about just provide for all the American people level 5 biohazard suits and we'll survive? They would rather do that than just give you hydroxychloroquine. I'm going to show y'all something. Oops, y'all weren't supposed to see that. That's the website I'm working on. Yes, I'm doing it, folks. I'm letting y'all know right now. I am doing it. It's about to get real. Because we're about to take this to the whole state, and I'm sure it'll go beyond that. But I'm done with this foolishness. We got to stand up and start telling the truth about all this. Look, bottom line, when people's lives are at stake, we don't play games. There's elements within our government in the United States that are good. They're good people. There are people that care about us, that are fighting for us, and there's people in our government that are not. And it really has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. It's good and evil. There's Republicans that are on the evil side. There's Democrats on the evil side. There's a bunch of people in the middle that are just ignorant. There's a bunch of just, as we say, political prostitutes that are just getting paid. But the bottom line is this, is that we are going to have to stand up because they're going to mandate. They're going to make it mandatory. Now, let me say this before we get out of here today, and we're going to do communion before we go. So don't anybody run out. If you want to stay and do communion, you are welcome to stay. We're going to do communion in just a minute. And it's only 12 o'clock, so I got through this in an hour, less. All right? But let me say this. And I shared this the other night. We were sitting around the table talking. But let's just say, just for, hypothesis. Let's just say a vaccine comes out at the end of this year, or an mRNA vaccine, coronavirus vaccine. Even though you can go to the corrupt CDC website says that we're down to the level of no deaths from this. It's so low. We peaked in March and April. It's almost down to nothing. We're not even at pandemic level according to the CDC. I've got screenshots of the graphs. I've seen them myself. All right. But let's just say they're pushing hard for this, right? Bill Gates said they're going to have 7 billion doses ready to go. And let's say at first, the federal government, the United States federal government, does not mandate it. Okay, that's good. But guess what you don't realize? The governor of your state could. Now, let me ask you something. If they're going to inject something in you, in your body, that's literally going to attach itself to your DNA and change it to produce, make your body produce stuff to fight a virus that they created, and they start telling you that if you don't have this vaccine, you can't walk in a store, you can't get on an airplane, you can't walk in a bank, you can't go to a movie theater, you can't get your check cashed. What is that? Let me tell you what that is. That's something being injected into your body that's controlling whether you buy or sell, isn't it? Then if they add with that some type of marker, some type of implant, which they're talking about, that they can read and check to make sure you're vaccinated. See, it just dawned on me the other day that this vaccine and the tracking device associated with it could actually be the mark of the beast. See, the problem you got to remember is that when Jesus came the first time, the reason many missed him and didn't understand who he was is because they had their own preconceived ideas about how things were going to work. Remember, see, the Bible told them, they knew, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Israelites, they knew. They said, Elijah's going to come, Malachi 4, Elijah's going to come before the Messiah comes. So when John the Baptist showed up preaching and everybody was, the power of God was there in conviction, and the masses went out to be baptized to repent of their sins, what did the Pharisees and the Sadducees do? They went to John the Baptist and they had one question for him. Are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not. They turned around and went home. See, they completely missed it. So when Jesus' disciples came, once Jesus' disciples realized that Jesus was the Messiah, they said, well, why did they ask him? They didn't understand it. Why did the scribes and the Pharisees say that Elijah must come first? What did Jesus say? He did. They're like, okay, I don't get this. And then he explained to them, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Meaning, see, they thought that it was going to be literally be Elijah. So when John the Baptist said, I'm not him, they just dismissed it. So if Elijah hadn't come, then the Messiah can't come. So when Jesus said he was the Messiah, they rejected him as the Messiah because they had a preconceived idea. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong. I've studied end time Bible prophecy for over 30 years. All right. And over those 30 years, there's certain things that I can say many times. I try my best to understand, but I don't know. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out or how it's going to map out. All right. We just do the best we can. I mean, we know Jesus is physically returning. Right. A bunch of New Agers and freaks are saying it's just spirit. No, Jesus is physically returning. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon. But there's always been this great mystery around what is the mark of the beast going to be, especially decades ago before there was computer chips, tiny chips that could be implanted in people. Well, guess what? Everybody's thinking about the RFID chip. There's chips smaller now. There's nano dust. All right? Now, you say, Pastor Dean, are you saying that this is it? I'm saying, guess what? It's so close to it, even if it's not, I'm not taking it. You hear me? As of this moment, nothing's getting injected into this body. You hear what I'm saying? Not a vaccine, not baby DNA, aborted baby DNA. That's in vaccines, by the way. Not mRNA. Not you're going in there and reworking my DNA. No, no, no. Well, Pastor Dean, you won't be able to buy and sell. I think I was already warned about that. And let me tell you, if it was 30 years ago, I'd say, well, maybe it's not it. But where we are now, maybe it is it. You say, well, Pastor Dean, what about the Antichrist and the beast? All that's coming. The beast system, folks, the Antichrist beast system is here. You need to understand that. It's already here. It's in place. Satan's been building it for centuries. And it's almost done. It's almost completely finished. They're just shining stuff right now. They're just polishing. It's built. What's next? Well, World War III, the Sixth Trumpet War, and the Mark of the Beast. That's what's next. So which one comes first? I don't know. Nor does anybody. People have opinions, but we'll see. They're going to happen. But when they're going to happen, I don't know. Say, well, Pastor Dean, if I don't get the COVID vaccine, I'm going to lose my job. Really? Better make up your mind now about some things. It's not going to get easier for Christians. Somebody sent me the video last night. They're burning Bibles in Portland on the street, piling up Bibles in the street and burning them. You know what that sounds like, don't you? Sounds a lot like Nazi Germany. I think Americans, especially Christians, that have been in churches that haven't warned them and taught them about these things, don't realize that it's snuck up on you. So, I'm not doing it. And somebody said something about the RFID chip's not the mark of the beast. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Even that, it's getting a little too close for me. Oh, Pastor Dean, you're going to need it. They're going to, you know, you're going to need it. You're gonna, we're not going to have our debit cards and credit cards anymore. You're going to need that chip in your hand. Nope. Oh, it's not the mark of the beast. Just go ahead and get it. Nope. Sorry. It's too close. Not happening. Well, you're gonna have a hard time. Well, I remember when Jesus say something about that. He said the beast will make war with the saints and prevail against them. It's gonna look like they're winning, folks. You understand that? It's gonna look like they're winning for a while. Until Jesus splits the eastern skies open. That's going to be a bad day for them. They're all Jesus haters. You know that, right? They're Jesus haters. They hate the light. They hate Jesus. That's why they hate Christians. They hate Christians. You know, this Dr. Emmanuel, they found out she was a demon-casting Christian, just believed the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and boy, did they come out against her, didn't they? Right? And I thought, you know, it's okay for doctors to be Hindus. You got Hindu doctors, Buddhist doctors, Muslim doctors, New Age freakazoid doctors. But you can't be a Christian doctor. There are people talking about because she's a Christian, believes the Bible, she should have her medical license taken away from her. I kid you not, I saw those posts out there, people saying it about her. Why are Christians so hated? They ain't doing anything but trying to tell the truth. Tell the truth in a world of lies. You are the enemy, right? All right. Well, let's do this. We're going to do communion this morning. So, who's going to help me? Bobby, you want to help me pass it out? Y'all want to help? All right. And we told everybody out there we're going to keep it broadcasting because there's people that want to join us. So, Bobby, if you would, and Amanda, you guys can. And by the way, it's Amanda's birthday, so everybody say happy birthday. Well, we're going to pass out the bread and the juice this morning, the bread and the wine, grape juice. And while they are passing that out, everyone can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And those of you at home that are joining us, you can get your things ready as well. As we're doing that too, I just want to continue to share. Look, I suggest right now everybody be praying like you've never prayed before for our country, for our state here in Alabama. You know, I think there's some deep state people that are in our state as well, but then there's some that's just ignorant, and they don't really know what's going on, and they don't know how to stand against it. And, of course, there's ignorance, and then there's willful ignorance. You know what willful ignorance is? That's choosing to stay ignorant after you've been told, after you've been warned, after it's been explained to you. And some folks now that are in willful ignorance. Willful ignorance, there's no grace left there. Sometimes the Lord gives grace when there's ignorance, but ignorance will still get you killed, right? Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to life and death. You can just put it in. Well, yeah, I'll just take it. Here we go. For us, though, for us Christians, it's all about Jesus. It's not about skin color, race, politics, what country we're in or from. We know that our hope, our only hope in the end, whether it be the end of our lives or the end of the age, our only hope is to really, really know Jesus. And I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible, not the counterfeit Jesus of the New Agers or the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons or even Islam. You know, they have their counterfeit Jesus. There's one Jesus, true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, of the New Testament. God manifested in the flesh. It is one of the greatest mysteries and amazing truths that God himself took on a human body so that he could give his life as a sacrifice and an atonement for us. And so when we do this morning, as we do communion, it's all about, what is this all about? Jesus. He said, this do in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? We always need to go back all the time, every day. That anything that makes us, there's nothing in this world that makes us good. There's nothing in this world that makes us righteous. There's nothing in this world that makes us right with God except the blood of Jesus. The fact that his body was torn apart and he shed his blood, his sinless blood, for us. And it wasn't just the blood of a man, it was the blood of God who became a man. And if you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. Sorry. You're in some kind of Christian cult, but you're not a Christian. You're not a true Christian. True Christian knows who Jesus is. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? Colossians 2:8 and 9, speaking of Jesus, he is the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Fullness. Isaiah 9:6 said we would call him what? Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen? So we're not going to argue about the Trinity today. We believe that God is three, yet one. Amen? It's not three gods, one God. And he died on the cross for our sins. So let's read this. 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to go to verse 23. I'm going to read it first. And we're going to read through verse 34. So let's read it all. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry ye one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. So what he's saying is that this, there at the end, communion is not a, it's not a, about eating to satisfy your hunger. This is a spiritual ordinance to remember what the Lord's done for you, for mankind. And it's something that you must take seriously and make sure that you're not living in an unworthy manner. What does that mean? If you're living in habitual sin, if you're living in habitual rebellion, a lifestyle of evil and wickedness, whether it be fornication or adultery or homosexuality or idolatry, you don't need to be taking this. You hear what I'm saying? This is serious. Now, I will say this. He says, let a person examine themselves. So this is a moment, if that's you, if you know there's a habitual, ongoing sin or wickedness in your life, this is a moment to say, okay, God, I got to get this right with you. So you examine yourself and you go, okay, Lord, today I repent. Please forgive me. And today I choose that I'm not living like this anymore. So see, it's not just about going through the ritual of taking the bread and the wine. It's about examining yourself, making sure you're walking with the Lord the way he wants you to walk. So let's bow our heads for a minute. I'm going to pray. And I want you to just take these few moments. If you need to deal with something between you and the Lord, you deal with it before you take the bread and the wine. So let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, come to you today, and I just thank you that you are merciful and forgiving, and you love us. And you just want us, as you stated in your word, to acknowledge our sin and our iniquity, to be willing to repent, to turn away from it, to confess it and forsake it. That's what you say in your word. So, Lord, we come to you right now, Lord, and we confess, Lord, where we've sinned, and especially if it's been habitual, Lord, in anyone's life here today or those watching and listening, Lord, let them now confess to you and repent. And we look to the blood of Jesus to forgive, to wash our sins away, because your word says in 1 John 1, 9, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we choose to do that right now before you in these few moments. And we declare we want to be holy and we want to be obedient and we want to live free from habitual wickedness and evil and sin. We want to walk with you in a worthy manner. So, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Lord, today we choose to rededicate ourselves to walk with you in a worthy manner. And we declare that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to take your bread. And we're going to read this again, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord, Paul said, that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us take. Now, after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Lord, we give thanks to you. We give thanks for your word. We give thanks for your death on the cross, for your shed blood for our sins, for your resurrection from the dead. And that, Lord, we do show your death in this communion until you come, and you are coming again. You will open the sky. You will physically return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You will defeat the armies of the Antichrist, the evil, the wicked, and you will set up your kingdom on this earth. Lord, I pray that many, many will come to know you before that great and terrible day of the Lord. I pray your blessings on those here. Pray your blessings on those that have been watching and listening. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I tell you what we're going to do. One song. Let's stand. Let's do that. Let's do that last one we did, the Crowder song. That's a good one. We'll worship the Lord for a minute, and then we'll be dismissed.
And it's just you and me here now.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we're going to be like the Good Samaritan. Lord, we're going to help people and not just walk by them. Lord, we thank you for all the truth in the Bible, Lord, from Genesis to Revelation. Lord, we love it. We thank you for it. And we ask you to lead us and guide us this day and this week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Y'all hug some necks before you leave.